When my grandfather was living, the first time we saw a Jell-O, and we started to make Jell-O, and I remember he would say, Koch, you know, means grandchild, and to make that water that a raven shut its eye to and became food. He didn't know what was Jell-O, but it reminds him of the story that what Raven used to do, and that's what he used to call Jell-O.
Catherine Atlove Huslia, storyteller and participant in a panel on myths and possibilities at the 6th Annual Literary Jam Session in Fairbanks. I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. Welcome to Chinook. Roland Walbert introduced the group.
When I was talking to Eliza, and I was explaining that this is, wanted her to talk on Native stories, and that this is a session on fantasy, she reminded me that she didn't exactly consider Native stories fantasy. With that, I'll turn it over to them. Eliza, you might want to start.
I'm Eliza Jones. I work at the University of Alaska. There are different kinds of stories in our Athabascan culture, and one of the stories is called Yordana. That's historical fact stories. And then the other kind of stories, I guess, what you would call legends, we call Qadans Adni. And Qadans Adni are stories about when animals and birds and fish and different things were people. It was there were stories about before the remaking of the present world. And a lot of our native, and it's very important to us because a lot of our native beliefs have come from those stories. the stories are told, and you know, when people do something, the stories are always being referred to. You know, if somebody does something, a story would be told, and they said, you know, or when somebody is telling a story, like about the frog story, they'd say somewhere in the story they'd stop and say. And it was about a boy who, it was an orphan who went hunting with two boys, two teenagers, I guess, and they were throwing the frogs back and forth at each other because they said, what good is frog? And then they tore it up, and this little boy felt really bad, this orphan, and he put it back together, and he buried it. And later on in life, this old woman appeared to him, and took all the things away from him that would have made him a not very good runner, not very good hunter, the things that would have held him back because of what he did, because of the way he put the frog back together. Now this kind of stories is often told for this reason people have very good feelings about the frog, you know, it's kind of, they have a warm feeling about it. And so people have different feelings about the different animals and things depending on what kind of things they were when they were people. And another thing about Qadans Adni is that they are the stories are told at certain time of the year. In traditional Athabascan way lifestyle, there was a season for everything. You know, summertime you cut fish, you put up food for the winter. And then in the late fall, people move to their camp, wherever they're going to stay while it's freezing up. And then when it becomes trapping time, it starts getting dark. That's when people start telling these Qadans Adni. You don't tell it in the middle of the summer, at least not the whole thing. You can refer to parts of it. And this parts of it is referred to all during the year. But the real rituals, the storytelling begins like in September, and this storyteller would tell a story one evening, and if they're teaching children to tell the story, then they would start out with a real easy one like Tabanetsa. I think that was the only one I remembered. It's a kindergarten story and has a lot of repetition in it. So that your grandpa or grandma or whoever tell the story would tell you this, would tell the child the story, and as you're telling the storyteller is telling the story, you say, the listener is expected to respond by saying hmm, hmm, at appropriate times. And so then maybe the next night or a couple nights later, it's the child's turn to tell a story back. And so as a child is telling the story back, if you leave some parts of it out, you know, they correct them and so on. So this is, and then this goes on till about maybe in December sometime, when people finish trapping, and then they go back to the village, and that would interrupt the storytelling time. And that would be just that would be the formal time of the storytelling. And there are many reasons why people tell story. One of them is to carry on the stories, and they also tell a story for good luck, because I was told when I was a child that if I tell a story, I had snares out. And they say, if you tell us stories, you'll make the animals happy, and you'll make the rabbits happy, and it'll jump in your snare. Because you're talking about them. Mm. And so you treat these animals a certain way, too, when you bring it home. You know, you have a certain respect for it. You know, if you bring in a mink, mink have a very sensitive nose, so you put grease on its nose to so it wouldn't be offended by human smells and so on. And you're not allowed to burn fur or hair or anything like that while the dead animal is in the house, because that would be too strong. And if you bring a fox home, you put a bone in its mouth, so that the spirit can have something to eat, and so on. And right now, Catherine Atla here is a really good storyteller, and she's told 30 stories on a tape recorder about maybe, how many years ago was that?
About seven, eight
years ago. And I had it at the office all this time, and I transcribed them. And the Yukon Koyukuk School District got some money together, and got some money from legislators, so they contracted with ANLC. So now Catherine came in, and we're working on those stories. And some of it is going to be published. And I don't think we can do all 30 of them at this time. But we've been working on them, translating them, and so on. And so maybe, do you want to say something about the Karanzani, how the stories are told?
Well, you just about said everything, but I'm not a, you know, really good storyteller, but it's my trait. Since I didn't have chance to go to school, so I didn't want to school. And my trait was those kind of stories, and about when my grandfather, they got his birth record, guessed as 1880. Mm. And I heard the stories from before that by them, and after he's gone, by Chief Henry of Huslia, who passed away too. And so my whole trait is what I learned from story, as far as making living. In the old village of Karaaf, we had a store, but we didn't have post office till 47. And that's just recently, and we finally got school in 1950. And by that time, my kids was ready for school. But my trait is what I learned from my elderly, especially my grandfather and my grandmother. And like Eliza say, they told her to tell story to catch rabbit. Well, I know a rabbit song that was taught to me when I was little, and then even around snare line, my sister and I used to sing it, so we'll catch rabbit. So it's a, and then, Abonito na siose yose konuchi yoko tlitalio Aden tlito huile no wildo no wildo. But many times I sing it, I won't remember it. But anyway, it's there's a lot of other songs. And my grandfather used to tell me stories at bedtime, and he would go to sleep, you know, even like Eliza say, we have to respond. That means you're interested, you're listening. Mm-hmm. So if we never see,
then they would, you know, kind of stop. So I used to respond to my grandfather, and then when he come to these songs or walking or paddle, then he used to see for paddling, he say, ah, cut, then he started to go to sleep. But instead of the sleep, so I would say, just laugh. And a couple of times I would say that, then he would tell me, there's another night tomorrow. I said, Grandpa, you're almost to the end. Then he said, he says, you don't even learn stories, but she just, you know, keep me awake. And then later on, he get me to tell the story, so I'll see if I know it, just like school, you know. So I started, but I get tired, so I just talk fast. And he get mad, and he say, sound like rabbit hopping on its trail. And so anyway, that's my trait is. And then back in 50, middle 50, we finally got a priest. We had no church in the old village. We moved in 49, so we finally got priest. And then I started to learn about church. And it's pretty much like our story, what little I hear, because I couldn't read it. So I got this preacher to read the Bible to me, and I would tell him my story, what I learned from my grandfather. And it's pretty much the same, and especially when the, you know, new world began. And everything was pretty much the same. And already, like Eliza said, we're publishing those stories for Yukon Koyukuk School District. There's somebody already asked, I wonder how long they know that story, because it sounds like, you know, we pick it up from the Bible. Mm-hmm. And but that's how, you know, true it is, I guess. And so anyway, he used to read the Bible, and I used to tell him my story. And I was really mixed up, because my grandfather was the last big medicine man in Koyukuk River. So I was really mixed up with the church, and then my belief, what I learned, what I grew up with. And that preacher was nice enough to tell me, you have to carry on what you learned from your grandparents. You have to carry it on. It's true. This power was given to them to heal one another or help. He said, the prayers is right, and I really still thank him for it. And then I like to carry on both. And a lot of times I compare it when I watch TV, that's when it reminds me of those stories that I know. And I always wish too that I was they could, you know, act our story the way they appear things. Well, especially Raven used to appear things so easy, you know. He just wish there's a pan of food or something and it'll be there. And it just, you know, look like they can just act this, make their stories. And a lot of things, it just remind me. And even when my grandfather was living, first time we saw a Jello, and we started to make Jello. And I remember Liza is more like sister to me, because she was raised by my grandfather, you know, after I got married. And he would say, koh, you know, means grandchild, and to make that water that a raven shut its eye to and became food. And then later on, I said, I told him, he went in the store and he said, he asked for that kind. I said, you mean this kind that you mix and then leave it and it'll be food? And he said, that's the one I want. He didn't know what was Jello, but it reminds him of the story that what Raven used to do, and that's what he used to call Jello.
Catherine Atla and Eliza Jones on Athabascan Storytelling. Panelists at the Fairbanks Arts Association's 6th Annual Literary Jam Session. I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.